Morning. Good to be here with you all this morning. Certainly is a good morning. We can gather together and worship God together. I'm thankful now to have the opportunity for a few minutes to open up God's Word and speak to you some things from it. This afternoon, we're going to spend some time examining what I hope is a very practical lesson for each of us individually, as well as for the work of this congregation here. A very good study in our Bible class this morning. Those of you that were there for that, some of the themes that we discussed in that Bible study will carry into our lesson for this afternoon. Your presence here this morning demonstrates that you prioritize spiritual things. And whenever we get the opportunity to assemble together, our presence demonstrates both that we love God and also that we love one another. Thank you for being here this morning and each time we assemble, and we hope to see you back this afternoon. Our lesson for this morning is going to begin in the passage listed on the screen in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 to 25. The phrase from this passage serves as our title for the lesson of the hour. So let's read these verses together, and let's introduce this phrase that we're going to consider for our time together. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 25 says, "The former priests were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently, because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." He is able to save to the uttermost. That's the phrase that we're looking at. There is no limit to who he can save. Some translations will render this, "He is able to save forever." There is no limit to when he can save. There is no limit to how fully he saves. He is able to save completely. This is a wonderful thing for us to know about our God, and specifically here in Hebrews, the person Jesus Christ, our Savior. And knowing this fact can help us as we go through life to view things in an accurate way. We're going to spend a few moments looking at ways that may be common for us to underestimate our Savior's ability to really save to the uttermost. And while we should point out that God may choose not to save those that do not wish to be saved, his saving grace is not irresistible. Our focus for this morning is on all those that he is able to save. We're going to examine some people who, at times, we may doubt whether he really can save. This lesson is meant to remind us that note there is no one that he is unable to save. It's meant to give us confidence in him and to remind us that he really is able to save to the uttermost. There's never existed a person that he could not save, no matter the time when they lived or the corner of the earth that they've lived in, or even the spiritual condition that they've gotten themselves into. This fact in this lesson relates both to others in our lives as well as to ourselves, should we find ourselves in one of these positions. As we begin the study, the first type of person that we're going to examine in the light of God's limitless salvation is the one who has fallen. We just read from Hebrews chapter 7. We move back a chapter to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to find a passage that may make us doubt the assurance given in our verse this morning that God really can save to the uttermost. Let's look at this passage from Hebrews chapter 6, and let's read verses 4 to 8 together. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 8. "For it is impossible, in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm, and holding him up to contempt. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it, and produces a crop useful to those whose sake it is cultivated, receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned." This is a passage we often struggle with explaining. We can use this passage in arguing against the false doctrine of once saved, always saved. But sometimes we can have difficulty explaining how this passage doesn't teach once fallen, always fallen. There are other passages that we could go study to prove that when one has fallen away, they're not necessarily eternally lost. We could look at 1 Corinthians 5 and see that there was a discipline that the church was to conduct with the purpose of restoring one that had fallen away from godly living. We could then look at 2 Corinthians 2 and see that such a one can be restored. James 5:19 teaches us about the importance of working to bring back the one who has wandered from the truth. James 5:19 through 20 says, "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back the sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." Certainly this passage would not exist if the one that has fallen and wandered away from the truth could not be brought back. But returning our attention back to Hebrews 6, how do we explain the language that's used here? In this passage, we see that big I word, impossible. For it is impossible. This biblical word is one that is important that we understand properly. As a Christian, that word means something different than it does to the rest of the world. We have to consider, when the Bible uses this word, who is it impossible for? In this case, does it say who? This passage, notice, it does not say who it is impossible for. It just says it is impossible to restore. To explain why I'm emphasizing this, let's look at a passage in Matthew 19. If you turn there with me. Matthew chapter 19. This account is going to show us something about impossible things. There's a parallel to this in Mark chapter 9. We're going to look at the Matthew chapter 19 account here. Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 23. "And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.' When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, 'Who then can be saved?' But Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. This thought should be very familiar to us, but it's so important when we read passages like Hebrews 6. Saying something is impossible is not the end of the story. With God's help, with his involvement, all things are possible. I've heard Hebrews 6 explained as there is nothing new that we can teach the one that has converted to Christ and then fallen away, and therefore it's impossible for us to say anything to bring them back. And there is some truth to that. It's much harder for us to show that person something new, but I'm not convinced that this is the best way to explain this chapter. This is hard to bring a person back, bring that person that's fallen away back, as it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven or a camel to go through the eye of a needle. But with God's help, it can be done. Otherwise, James 5 will not encourage us to work to bring them back. Going to our lesson title, "He is able to save to the uttermost." That word "uttermost," found in Hebrews 7:25, means entirety, all complete, or perfect. Some translations again say forever. He is able to save forever. There is no time he cannot save. He can save completely and entirely. There's only one other verse that uses this Greek word. Let's take a look at that verse and look at it in its context. If we flip over to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 13. Speaking of Jesus here, "Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, 'Woman, you are free from your disability.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God." This story paints a great picture of the one that has fallen into the illness that is sin, the one that has fallen away. For 18 years, this woman had a disabling spirit. We don't know if, in this case, this was just an expression describing a purely physical infirmity or some sort of demon possession that caused this. We do know at one time this woman was whole. she could fully stand up. Something that so many of us take for granted, but I'm sure anyone with a history of back problems can appreciate as should be considered a blessing. But somewhere along the way, this changed. She developed a condition that did not allow her to straighten fully or to the uttermost or completely. This is the same word in our passage from Hebrews. She could not straighten completely. For 18 years, she struggled with this issue. Surely many had given up hope that she would ever be normal again. But this passage teaches us that no matter how long we have been sick, no matter how deformed we may seem, no matter what we have done to make ourselves crooked, He can save us. He can free people from their sin like He freed this woman from her disability. He can save to the uttermost. There is no one that He cannot save. It's not impossible for God to restore the one that has fallen away, for with God all things are possible. He is able to save even the one who has fallen. While we're in Luke 13, there's another valuable lesson that we can learn about His ability to save to the uttermost. We're going to learn that He is able to save even those that seem worthless. Directly before the account that we just looked at of Jesus healing the disabled woman, we find a parable that is in some ways connected to this miracle we just read. Back in verses 6 through 9, we see this parable. Let's read that together. Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. And He told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." Here we have a man that had this vineyard, and after 3 years of worthlessness, he wants to cut down this fig tree. We recall from another parable in John 15 where Jesus is the vine and God the Father is the vine dresser. This account we see, believe Jesus being the vine dresser. He is the one here that has compassion and convinces the owner of the vineyard to give this tree just a little more time. Not just give it more time, but to give it love and care and attention, to give it the best possible chance at producing fruit. It can be easy for us to think that God cannot save certain people. They are not producing fruit and they never have. They're at best taking up space in this world. At worst, they may be harming others, starving those around them of nutrients that they need to produce fruit and even to survive. Some people seem so far gone that we cannot fathom how God could possibly save them. We may give up hope for them, even if they are very dear to our heart. Those that are living in sinful lifestyles like homosexuality or promiscuity, those that are in trouble with the law, those that struggle from addiction such as gambling or alcohol or drugs to the point of not being in their right mind. It may not just be a single person, but a whole community or group of people that seem too far gone. We could look on the news from just recently and see these groups that are filled with racism and hatred for one another. Or maybe it's a congregation that appears to have departed from the faith. How are we to look at these people? God's word speaks of people as being worthless. It does. Eli's sons were called worthless men that did not know the Lord. Abigail's foolish husband Nabal was referred to as worthless. We know that God loves the world, yet He calls some people worthless, having no value. There are two ways to look at this. One way is that while a person is contributing no good, no value into the world, just causing hurt and heartache for those around them, and at that time they are worthless. They may continue that way, or as we'll discuss, they may repent and no longer be worthless, but be precious and full of value. The other way that we could see these passages that talk of people being worthless is that with the foreknowledge of God, knowing the end from the beginning, He knows whether a person has value or not. He knows their choices before they make them. He knows whether they are ultimately valuable or are indeed worth nothing. If He calls them worthless in His word, then He knows that they will always be evil individuals. This is the way I prefer to interpret these passages. And it's why this point that we're discussing is talking about those that seem worthless. God will judge whether ultimately they're worthless or they, when given more time, like that fig tree, will start bearing fruit. So maybe we can refer to these people as worthless, for now at least. But I would rather say we just don't know. What we do know is that we need to love them. We need to pray for them. And we need to believe that God can save, because he can save to the uttermost. He can save the most alien of sinners. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So easy for us, even when we feel like we love those that are lost, to give up believing in them and therefore in God. Scriptural, truthful love believes all things and hopes all things. We can give up hope, but we are challenged not to do that. And that is a challenge for us. How we rise to that challenge is different for each of us. Some of us need to remember to talk about the Lord with our coworkers or acquaintances who we may be tempted to write off as being beyond saving because of their lifestyles or their pasts. If they are in an adulterous marriage, we can make up our minds that they will not be willing to fix that to follow the Lord. If they swear or drink or smoke, we can give up on them. Others of us have a different challenge. We may have those very close to us who, right now, seem worthless. We cannot see how they are ever going to come to the Lord because they are so deeply entrenched in sin. God knows how exhausting having such people in our lives can be, and those that are long-suffering, he certainly notices and he commends. Others notice, too, and are encouraged by the patient endurance that some demonstrate with these seemingly worthless souls. But the challenge remains to keep believing, keep hoping, keep praying, keep loving. Some may simply have someone in their life that, by most accounts, is a good person, but is not living for God, and that can bring a similar struggle. God can save to the uttermost, even those that seem worthless. We have to trust that he can, and that we cannot predict when he will. We cannot be like the owner of the fig tree that decides prematurely to cut it down because it's not producing fruit. We must have compassion like the vine dresser. Give it more time, he says. Recall our text from Hebrews that's the basis for our lesson. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus intercedes for us. He intercedes for that seemingly worthless fig tree. Bear with it. Give it a chance. Give it a little more time. Eventually, yes, that tree may have to be cut down, and like an earlier passage said, its end is to be burned. But let us believe in the power of God to save to the uttermost, and see past the current worthlessness and believe that God may very well cause an enlightening, and he may use us to accomplish that if we don't give up hope. If you talk to enough Christians, you'll hear some amazing stories of God saving those that seemed unsalvageable. He can accomplish the unlikely and even the impossible. Let's always put our trust in him. Our last observation for this morning is that God can save even those that doubt themselves. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9, where you can follow along here on the screen. Mark chapter 9, we're going to begin reading in verse 20. And again, this is an account of Jesus here. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 20. And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. In this account, we see that concept again of impossibility. This passage says in verse 23, all things are possible. In other words, nothing is impossible. We saw earlier that Jesus talked about all things being possible, impossible with man alone, but with God, with things being impossible with man alone, but with God, all things are possible. In this account, Jesus again says that all things are possible. But he does not say all things are possible for himself because he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Instead, he brings some possibilities into the reach of us flawed human beings. He says all things are possible for the one who believes. That's you and me. We just need to believe. Sure, there are times we just need to humbly say to God, like the father in this account said, help my unbelief. And he will help us with our unbelief or our lack of faith. Our ability to accomplish things, though, is only limited by our belief or faith. In a parallel account in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus answers a question from his disciples who are unable to heal this boy that Jesus was. And they wonder why they were not able to heal them, and this is part of Christ's response. He said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Our faith may start out very small. We may need help with unbelief about certain things. We may not understand many things about God's kingdom. We may not think we are the type of person that is cut out for the Christian life. We may be young, just a teenager perhaps. We may have more questions than answers, and our faith may be tiny, just like a mustard seed. Every single one of us has been in that position where our faith was small, but eventually that faith will grow. Eventually that mustard seed becomes not just a small plant, but a great tree. That faith that in time we can develop by the help of God will help us accomplish feats we previously thought impossible. If you feel like your faith is too small to get started walking with the Lord, that he cannot make you who he wants you to be, then you're underestimating God. Or maybe you've been walking with the Lord, but life events have made you question yourself. You doubt whether you're going to finish the race. You doubt whether you're going to make a difference in God's kingdom, whether you have the talents that can be of service to others. You may doubt whether people want you around, or you may doubt your place. Those doubts you may have, that at times many of us have, are not based in truth. We must remember that doubting ourselves is the same thing as doubting God. He has promised us that all things are within our reach, as long as we are aligned with him and trusting in him. We need to be able to say, I'm not able to do things. We need to have that humble spirit. But we need to be able to say that accurately. I'm not able on my own. But like Paul wrote in Philippians 4:13, we can say, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Maybe you doubt your ability to conquer some sin. Maybe you see so many wrong things being done by your friends that you doubt your ability to stay away from those things. The Bible says God can keep you from stumbling. Maybe you doubt your ability to grow in knowledge. The Bible says God can give you understanding in everything. Maybe you doubt your worth. The Bible says not only does God see your worth, but he can make you worthy. He loves you and values you. We can see in God's word that we can have confidence that we can make it to heaven. Proverbs 3:25-26 says, do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. You can do it. You can make it as a Christian. You can choose to do the right things in life. No matter what you think of yourself, God can save even you. God can save to the uttermost. He is able. We've seen this morning that God constantly proves the impossible possible. He can save to the uttermost. If you've walked away from the Lord, fallen away from God, from him, God can save. He can save even those that have fallen. All things are possible for him. If you're not a Christian, have not made good choices in this life, God can save you. If you know a person that is seemingly worthless, know that God has the ability to save them. Demonstrate love. Believe all things. Hope all things. So look out across this room there are so many that have these people in their lives, on their minds, and on their hearts. Spouses of those that have never called upon the Lord. Parents of children that have forsaken their commitment to Him. Brothers and sisters and friends of those that are entrenched in the world and have faced numerous consequences because of their sinful lifestyle. Even the person that is not bearing anything good right now, God can save. Through the compassion of our intercessor, Jesus Christ, God is patient. And some have hearts hidden behind lives of sin that eventually will start bearing good fruit. If you doubt your ability to accomplish good things in this life, even your ability to be counted as worthy by God, He can save you. You do not have to be the person that you know God wants you to be right now. You do not have to know the Bible inside and out. You can have more questions than answers. If you believe, just as much as a tiny mustard seed, that is all the start you need for God to be able to make you into someone that can move mountains. I want to read the lyrics of a song entitled, He is Able. It's a very short song that has a beautiful and fitting message for us this morning. He is able. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be. He is able, more than able. He is able to make me what He wants me to be. I know I'm not who He wants me to be. Day by day, He's molding me into that person, though. He is able, more than able. He is able to make you what He wants you to be. He will bring you understanding. He will help you overcome temptation. He will help you not desire to do the sinful things you see others doing. He will bring you joy. He will bring you peace. He will do more for you than you could ever dream. Give Him the chance to do what He is able, more than able to do. For our God is able to save completely, the Bible makes it clear that He does not overpower our free will to make our own choices, whether for good or for bad. He does not force His salvation upon us, but instead has asked us to obey the gospel or the good news. You've heard the good news about Jesus. You know that He died for your sins. You may even believe that He is the Son of God and that He is the way to eternal life. That is the crack in the door to your heart that He needs. Submit to Him and decide to turn from your past life, ready to be set apart for Him, doing the things that He desires you to do. You do not have to have all the answers. You just have to decide to start the walk. This morning you can stand before us and confess your faith in Jesus Christ, just saying a few simple, sincere words before some friendly people. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins to rise a new creature set apart for God's purpose. He is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to save even you. Please don't wait to let Him start working in your life. Just like that fig tree we looked at earlier, eventually there'll be no more opportunities. As patient as God is, He will not bear with us forever. If you have a need to make something right this morning, and make the best decision you can ever make and obey the gospel, please come forward as we stand and sing together.